This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Aha, now we turn our rabbit KMOX at your service thoughts to a favorite subject of, I guess, most everyone, food. Wonderful food. Our favorite foodie is here to talk about, and no, I don't think she's a foodaholic, but you never know. Her name is Suzanne Corbett. Hi, Suzanne. Welcome.
Hey, rabbit, and you know what?
Yes.
I am a foodieholic, but, you know, back in the days, they used to call us gourmands.
Oh, yes. Funny, I was just listening this morning, early morning, to I can't remember the whole name of the show, Nero Wolf, an old radio program that starred Sidney Greenstreet, and he's described in the show, in the introduction, as the gargantuan gourmet.
Well, he would have been more of a gargantuan gourmand, because gourmands love to eat, period.
That would have been him.
That's him.
Now, what about your dining delights so far this weekend? Anything outstanding? That you've been or that you prepared?
Oh, dining delight! You know, I discovered one of what's going to be the hot new picnic place. I think
picnic.
It's out in Cottleville, and it's being the new take called La Champ de la Flores, which is the recreation, the new branding of what Stone Soup Cottage
was. Oh, yeah.
Was.
That was a great place.
And they're doing a wonderful job. Chef Carl out there and Nancy, they are taking the classic French picnic and upped it by 1,000 points. And their beautiful new facility with it is just surrounded by flowers. It's actually the old stone soup cottage, but it has expanded out and is now providing these beautiful picnics that you can go in and just enjoy classic fare with wine, beautiful surroundings, of course, with lovely flowers, because that's what Champ de Flore means. It's the garden of flowers, the field of flowers. It's going to knock it out of the park. Absolutely knock it out of the park. And another interesting spot that I returned to this past week, the Muni is open again.
Yep.
And the Culver Pavilion is once again open for dinner before the show. And Chef Joe Wilson out there is doing a great job putting his charcuterie boards together, which is a little something different than what they've done in the past. They don't have the bountiful buffet like they did. They've scaled it down a little bit, but it's working very well, and it's getting well received by the patrons.
Now, that only goes on when the Muni is on, right? That's not
it. Only goes on while the muni's on. You know, it's sort of like picnics.
Yeah.
You have to take advantage of great weather and also the show that's going to be going on. And I think the last show will be Sisters Act, and that ends, I believe, the second week of August.
Oh, so you have
like
a lot of time. Right now, it's Beauty and the Beast. I believe. Is that what's there? Now I've lost track of what's there. And I know Chess is coming up, and I don't know what Chess is about, but might be interesting.
Great. It should be. Right now, Beauty and the Beast was great. And, of course, you want to be your guest with all those wonderful dishes that they dance around. Although my plates on my table do not dance around.
Well, when we talked last week, you were very busy, as you always are, writing something. What were you writing? Where do you write as far as are there blogs? Are there websites or magazines? Or where would we find your articles?
Well, you can find my articles almost anywhere you pick up a Gazelle or online.
Oh, yeah.
You can also check what I'm doing. Once in a while, I pop up on the Post-Dispatch. Also on West News Magazine, Mid Rivers News Magazine, AAA. I'm out there trying to feed the world with good food ideas and recipes.
Thing you mentioned, and I'm sure a lot of people don't know what it is, and I haven't seen it for long years actually. Gazelle, what is that?
Gazelle is a magazine that is printed here. It's mostly online now. It's once in a while they'll do a special print issue, but online Gazelle STL, and it is all about the living greatly large and beautiful and taking advantage of all the great things that are in St. Louis, from theater to food to fashion to just the latest happenings that are in town. And it's a great way to stay informed.
Sure. Do you use artificial intelligence in your writing at all or in your research?
No, I wish I could. But the artificial intelligence doesn't think the way I do. So therefore, I prefer writing my own stuff.
Yeah. Well, I do, too.
I truly do. But, you know, it is having an effect on the food world because it is taking a lot of information and using it for the good, really, with trying to decide with these larger companies on how to recreate recipes, different products. A good example is Campbell's Soup was able to collect the data that this intelligence has been able to collect through its surveys and online and voice recognition to decide what kind of ingredients to add to the next new thing they want to pull out into the marketplace, such as a spicy ghost pepper chicken soup.
Ghost pepper?
Ghost pepper.
What is that?
Well, ghost pepper is like one of the hottest Cascadian hot peppers you can eat.
Oh, boy.
But artificial intelligence through these surveys and online data collected on what you're buying and what your preferences are was able to track that trend on that spicy food, the hot foods, and they were able then to take that and incorporate it into discovering and creating new recipes and new products. And that's where I'm seeing your artificial intelligence, that AI, coming into play. I mean, you're still going to see those robots running around supermarket, I think, and some of them are getting kind of scary looking. They've put eyes on them and stuff.
I know.
And it's just kind of unnerving at times, but that's okay, I guess.
Artificial intelligence at restaurants. I know White Castle is using it, of all places.
They are, and so has been the CKE, our Hardee's company. And they have been taking this and using it as, as a means to try to better their service. But there's, you know, it's a double-edged sword.
It is.
You can have AI as a tool to have better ordering, for inventory, to track what your customers are wanting, but at the same time, it's eliminating jobs.
Yes.
And that's a real concern, too. And particularly with food, I'm not sure if I want to have a robot or a menu board to talk to me and for me to just punch my order in. Part of this is I want to have the interaction with a live person, because there's something about food that just demands that interaction with another human being. Mm-hmm. You want to enjoy that food. You want to enjoy the interaction it takes to order it, to have it served, to even explore what I want to eat. That AI is not going to tell me, oh, gee whiz, I think maybe I've got something new today you'd like to try. And I miss that. I think I could miss that.
Yeah. Now your books. Book that I've just been looking at of last week of yours, Unique Eats and Eateries of St. Louis, and I was honored to pen the introduction to it. That's been out, not I believe, 6 years, hasn't it?
Oh, yes, it has been. So it had 99 of my top picks. Unfortunately, I think it's kind of whittled down to about 80 now because we've lost a few.
Right.
So it's time to re-up that book and get a few things. But one of my favorite spots within the book and in my very first book is Soulard Market, and that's a farm market. And I love these farm markets, particularly now, because back in the day, you only had farm markets that were just centrally located, like Soulard Market, mm-hmm. or you had to go out in the country, there might be a market out there. But you had roadside stands. When a kid, we had a roadside stand, because I grew up on a South County truck farm.
That's interesting. Now, what about produce today, as far as... if I go to some stores and the produce looks like it's out of date and not ready for human consumption anymore, where do you find the best produce? Would it be a Soulard Market? Would it be a farmer's market? Are there independent stores? Or would it be an Aldi's or Straub's? Or what do you suggest?
Well, one of the best places to find the best produce probably would be in your backyard if you planted some yourself.
You'd have to do that.
But if you haven't, you want to try to look for farm markets that has a great great source of real farmers, not somebody who is just recycling a lot of stuff from Produce Row.
Mm.
So
mm-hmm.
real farmers, farm markets, and then the smaller regions such as Tower Grove has one, Denton has one, Maplewood, all of these markets have popped up. But you want to look for farmers that actually can say, yes, I grew this, and it was picked today. And that's when you're going to have the best tasting produce, particularly corn.
Oh, boy. Can you just had some delicious corn. I'll tell you about what it was with. It was with a Wethington hot dog. Do you remember Wethington hot dogs?
No, I don't, but tell me about it.
I will.
As good as a Chicago dog?
I'll take a break. You know, it's St. Louis. And we'll get right back to Suzanne Corbin in just a few minutes. If you can wait in the meantime, are you going to be having a snack while you're waiting? Or?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll be right back. We're at your service. It's Johnny Rabbit. We're on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist, an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Go ahead and say it and do it, too. Okay, Suzanne Corbett, we were just talking about the Wethington hot dog. Now, here, this is very simple. Yeah. Wethington, and I can't remember his first name. I should know that. But Wethington had a hot dog stand on Hampton. Actually, it was before KMOX was across the street on Hampton Avenue. Then they moved out to Maplewood and, Bellevue. I think it became a pizza place. And they also had a place in Pope Seven Kitchens in South County Center where they had the Wethington hot dog. All it is, hot dog of your choice. I personally like Hebrew National, but any hot dog will do. And you steam the hot dog and you steam the buns. I will probably just use bunny bread buns. And you get sweet pickle relish on it and grated cheddar cheese and chopped fresh tomatoes as little pieces and little snippets of iceberg lettuce, French's mustard, celery salt, and you've got a Wethington hot dog that's just out of this world. But it has to have all those ingredients. You can't miss any of them.
Oh, man, that sounds good, except I'd have to do without the tomatoes, though, because okay. I was raised on that truck farm. Tomatoes were the cash crop. I can't stand a tomato today.
Isn't that the truth? What a change.
It's just one of those things. Mm. You know, one of the best hot dogs I like was the ones we grill out at Jefferson Barracks Park during the JV Blast. It's coming up this Friday.
Oh, what is it?
They're grilled just over old-fashioned charcoal and just hit it with some relish and some mustard and off you go, and it's really good.
Nice.
And we raise funds to help the support and preservation of Jefferson Barracks Historic Site.
Now, when is that going to be? When is that?
It's our free concert on Friday at Jefferson Barracks at the Amphitheater, and at the end of the concert there'll be fireworks. And there's also called their food truck row. I believe there's almost a dozen trucks. I believe we might have competition this year with a truck that's going to have hot dogs, but that's okay too. There'll be plenty of dogs and all kinds of other stuff for people. Or if you don't want to purchase a dog, you can bring your own food in with it, your cooler, and just enjoy a free time out. Compliments of St. Louis County Park.
That's very nice. I'm just coming in today, just past the Campbell House Museum. Now, you've got a book about their recipes.
Oh, the Campbell House is a very special place for me. The Gilded Table that talks about all the recipes of Virginia Campbell, who was the mistress of the house, wife of Robert, who was a businessman, a fur trapper. He was one of the, what I call the Bill Gates of the 19th century. He was very, very involved with so many different things. But his wife was considered the hostess with the mostest in St. Louis. And her table was actually set with beautiful china and dishes and just wines and all the wonderful things. And this time of year, you'd want to have what's called the Roman punch, which was what we call their signature recipe of the house, which is like a champagne slushy. And that's a very refreshing thing to have on a 100-degree temperature day. Yeah.
And to see that house, too, to go there and see all of that original stuff that's from when she was alive. It's amazing.
That's right. Right. From the 1860s and 70s. It's one of the most complete culinary collections in the country. I mean, we know exactly how things were served thanks to the records that the family kept. We know where they did their grocery shopping. We know what kind of wines they drank, what whiskey they had. They saved the corks. We found them in the basement when they renovated the house.
That's
amazing. It's fascinating. It's a fascinating story.
But do you collect cookbooks?
Well, I have over 1,000 hardbound.
You collect
cookbooks? Yeah, I do.
Where do you get them? I mean, everywhere? Do you go to sales or individuals?
Well, I've been collecting them for decades, Rabbit. Uh-huh. And, you know, someone said, don't you have enough cookbooks? And I say, never, never, never. I never have enough cookbooks.
Gosh.
Because there's social history. If you want to learn about people in a town or a region, grab a local cookbook or cookbooks of the era, because you can learn so much about who the people were, their background, what they liked, and how they partied, and just how they lived their daily lives. A good example for that is some of the earlier colonial books and recipes that survive. Right now, I'm working on an event that'll be held in September that'll focus on French colonial foods in celebration of the 300th anniversary of Juliet coming down the Mississippi. So that's going to be a lot of fun, too.
Gosh, that is. You do so many great things. Thank you. And thank you for taking the time to talk with us today. And I'm glad you didn't come to the studio, because if you watch television and say, does that look like a big crowd? I don't think I've ever seen a bigger crowd downtown. It's phenomenal.
Well, gee whiz, you should have come down and opened a hot dog stand.
Oh, yeah, that would have been a great idea. As always, it's great to talk with you, Suzanne. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Rabbit. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Suzanne Corbett. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back with a head guy from Oasis. A lot of people know about Oasis, and, you know, it's one of those things that there are probably a lot of people who don't know about Oasis. What the heck does it mean? What did it stand for? How long has it been around? And what does Oasis do that you can be involved with? We'll talk to Paul Weiss, the president of Oasis, in the next few minutes. Then we'll hear from Peter Mayer, that you heard his voice for so many years in KMOX, as the CBS White House correspondent. We'll return. We're at your service, and this is KMOX. Here we are, Johnny Rabbit. We're at your service. Paul Weiss is with us. He is the guiding light, so to speak, of Oasis, an organization created, in their own words, to promote the quality of life of older adults. Paul, welcome. How are you?
Johnny Rabbit, how are you?
I am
fine.
Thank
you so much for having me.
Of course, thank you for taking the time to do it, to tell us more about Oasis. What did Oasis stand for originally? It's not used anymore, but what's the...
At one point, there was an acronym, and I think the acronym was forced upon it. So we have tried to move away and just be Oasis, and we in every city we're in, we're St. Louis Oasis, or Syracuse Oasis, or Rochester Oasis, or San Diego Oasis, and we identify by the cities that we're in. Those St. Louis is the national headquarters, and it's where we were founded by St. Louis and Maryland Men 41 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. That was a long time. I remember doing lectures there. One was kind of downtown at Famous Bar in an upstairs room or two.
That's right. So Oasis was originally formed in St. Louis in a partnership between the May department stores. And we expanded nationwide as part of the community benefit and community space partner in May department stores. Now May sold to Federated in the beginning of this century, and we have many other partners now, and we operate outside of that department store relationship. But that's how we began in St. Louis.
And you're from St. Louis.
I am originally from St. Louis. I was away for about 25 years. I was in California. I was in New York. I was in Pennsylvania. Then I came back to care for my aging parents. And the the Oasis mission of, you know, lifelong adventure for older adults and getting older adults to expand the footprint of their lives and their social connections through lifelong learning programs, volunteering like our tutoring program, technology literacy had tremendous pull for me, especially back to St. Louis to care for my parents during these more tender years of their life as they aged. So it was synergistic and somewhat serendipity that both coming back here and the discovery of this opening to
sure.
What happened at the same time.
Well, Paul Weiss, what about people who say, okay, this sounds really good. Well, how do you do it? How do you find out about it? There's a catalog. It's on the internet, I'm sure.
There's a catalog. I mean, the easiest way is you don't have to be in St. Louis to participate in Oasis. You can go to our national website, which is www.oasisnet.org. Oasisnet is one word, OASISNET.org. And then you can pull down on the front page, there's all our Oasis Center locations. And you can, in St. Louis is one of them. Or if you're not convenient in St. Louis or any of our other cities, we have a huge array of virtual classes for Oasis everywhere. And we have participants in exercise classes, lifelong learning, technology literacy, and more, all online and all live. And they're sourced from every one of our centers throughout the country from our best instructors.
You've got some great instructors on your list, and you've got some great people working in your office. And you also have a lot of great volunteers. I imagine you always need volunteers.
We always need volunteers. We need volunteers for, obviously, our intergenerational literacy tutoring program. We have, pre-pandemic, we had about 2,500 literacy tutors working in 27 school districts throughout the metro area and 4,500 tutors nationally. Post-pandemic, we lost a lot of our tutoring population, but we're building it back up. The demand from schools exceeds the number of tutors. So if you have any interest as an older adult in engaging with kids in a mentorship capacity, we will train you how to be a reading tutor. You get to work with kids in K through fourth grade, build all these relationships within schools. It's a tremendous way to give back to the community. And we also need volunteers to teach classes. If it's something that you're passionate about, we have a way for you to share it with others. We need volunteers for our health programs to be trained as leaders for community-based health programs. You can become a health education expert. And obviously, we need volunteers to do things like just work in our office and help us coordinate classes and engage with the older adults we serve. So we operate relatively frugally because we have so much volunteer firepower delivering the Oasis mission in all these different ways.
Now, what are your thoughts, Paul, about the future of artificial intelligence, and is that being done with Oasis? Are you having any programs about that? Are people asking about it?
So a big component of what we have done the last almost 20 years now is technology literacy education. We have Oasis Connections as this very large multi-course curriculum. And one of the things we've been talking about lately is, you know, how do we start teaching people about artificial intelligence? The truth is it's somewhat intimidating. The older adults are naturally sort of skeptical or intimidated or feel alienated by new technology, but a lot of it's fairly easy to use. One of the things that we have been developing new program planning for is creating opportunities for older adults to enter the new economy. And we think teaching people how to use AI tools will be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And as we develop this sort of workforce development aspect of our lifelong learning programs, teaching people how to use large language models like ChatGPT, how to write prompts, those sorts of things as shortcuts to creating text, to blogging, to even creating marketing content. We think that's a very important skill set. And we don't think it's a very high bar to learn. Older adults are more likely to feel intimidated by this sort of technology, but they shouldn't. It's very learnable.
Good. And find out more from Oasis. Well, Paul, thank you, Paul Weiss. I hope to talk to you again soon in KMOX and maybe see you in person at one of your events.
I hope you will as well. Thank you so much, John.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Paul. This is Johnny Rabbit. My next Oasis program, incidentally, is called Checking In, A History of Hotels and Motels in St. Louis, mostly about hotels. That's going to be Thursday, July 27th from 10:30 to noon at the Center of Clayton. Thursday, July 27th, hotels. Check in on it. You can do that by visiting stloasis.org. A couple of recent AI-themed novels are Barren Cove, if you want to read about AI. A novel, Barren Cove, by Ariel Winter. Another one is The Mother Code by Carol Stivers. But the actual factual, not fictional AI came into being with Alan Turing's work, Computer Machinery and Intelligence, in which he created the Turing Test. And this happened between the years of 1950 and 1956. Happening in just a couple of minutes, we'll have Peter Mayer from CBS News on the air at KMOX. Now, KMOX at your service with yours truly, Johnny Rabbit. We take pride in presenting the continuing adventures of Peter Mayer, starring, of all people, Peter Mayer. Peter Mayer himself, he's here right now. Well, he's not really here right now, but he's somewhere right now. Peter, where are you anyway?
I am in the greater Washington, D.C. area and just excited to blab it to the rabbit.
Thank you, Peter, very much. You know, when I think of you, often when I hear it, I'm always listening to old music. A 1948 song, You Came a Long Way from St. Louis, which was on Peggy Lee's LP, Beauty and the Beast. It was even on Chuck Berry's album, Chuck Berry in London. But for you, the song title would be You Came a Long Way from Granite City. Isn't that true?
That's right. I am a proud native of Granite City, Illinois, Johnny. A member of the class of 19.
See, that's the way to do it. We were talking to Jordan Palmer earlier of the Morning Light website. He mentioned some of your work has been honored by a museum in Washington, D.C. What is that museum?
Well, I've been involved in several museums. This is the latest. It is the Capital Jewish Museum, and they asked me a couple of years ago when they were building it, Johnny, if I had any mementos that I'd like to contribute. And I gave them a number of things that, frankly, I thought would be of real interest to them. The program from the Camp David Accords that President Carter signed on the White House lawn. I was there when he signed that with Prime Minister Begin of Israel and Anwar Sadat of Egypt. That is still in their archives, I'm told. Hmm. They chose to put three press passes from a trip that I made to Israel, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan with President George W. Bush.
Wow.
So that is on display there, and that's why I say I am a museum relic.
And you mentioned other museums, too. What are the others?
Well, I've actually just one other comes to mind immediately, and I've donated a number of things to the Clinton Presidential Library in Little Rock. And also, I've been in touch with a number of the people at the George H.W. Bush Presidential Library in College Station, Texas. I visited there a couple of times and actually visited with President Bush there many years ago.
Hmm, that's great. Now, do you still have recordings of your work, digital or tapes or cassettes or whatever, and scripts?
Way too many for my wife.
I know the feeling.
You do, I know, because Mrs. Rabbit is also a good friend of mine.
That's true, that she is. So what are you going to do with all these things?
Well, you know, right now they are on shelves and in cardboard boxes. I'm trying to I'm working on putting some of my memories together for the grandkids, and that's where they stand, yeah.
Are you going to do a book, write a book about your career?
Are you?
Well, on to the next question then.
Yeah, you know, I have it, you know, stored in my computer, a lot of these memories.
Sure.
And I know you do too.
Yes.
And I hear from high school friends of mine so often, especially a friend of mine who may be listening today in Granite City, Marcia Galloway Chomko, who is always after me to write a book. So maybe one of these days I'll be able to put all of this together.
I hope it happens.
Can't put it off, that's for sure, right?
That's for sure. When did you decide to retire?
I retired from CBS News in 2015. You know, I just decided that I'd done enough trips. I'd gotten up at 4:30 in the morning for 20-some-odd years to be at the White House by 6 o'clock in the morning. And it was just time for someone else to take the reins of the CBS News White House booth.
What are some of your early jobs like? For example, coming to the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Right. Well, you know, as you know, I started at WGNU in Granite City. And you hired me at Keishi in St. Louis.
That's true.
My first real solid news experience.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Here we are, Johnny Rabbit. We're at your service. Paul Weiss is with us. He is the guiding light, so to speak, of Oasis, an organization created, in their own words, to promote the quality of life of older adults. Paul, welcome. How are you?
Johnny Rabbit, how are you?
I am
fine.
Thank
you so much for having me.
Well, of course, thank you for taking the time to do it, to tell us more about Oasis. What did Oasis stand for originally? It's not used anymore, but what's
At one point, there was an acronym, and I think the acronym was forced upon it. So we have tried to move away and just be Oasis, and we in every city we're in, we're St. Louis Oasis, or Syracuse Oasis, or Rochester Oasis, or San Diego Oasis, and we identify by the cities that we're in. Those St. Louis is the national headquarters, and it's where we were founded by St. Louis and Maryland Men 41 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. That was a long time. I remember doing lectures there. One was in kind of downtown at Famous Bar in an upstairs room or two.
That's right. So Oasis was originally formed in St. Louis in a partnership between the May department stores. And we expanded nationwide as part of the community benefit and community space partner in May department stores. Now May sold to Federated in the beginning of this century, and we have many other partners now, and we operate outside of that department store relationship. But that's how we began in St. Louis.
And you're from St. Louis.
I am originally from St. Louis. I was away for about 25 years. I was in California. I was in New York. I was in Pennsylvania. Then I came back to care for my aging parents. And the Oasis mission of, you know, lifelong adventure for older adults and getting older adults to expand the footprint of their lives and their social connections through lifelong learning programs, volunteering like our tutoring program, technology literacy, had tremendous pull for me, especially back to St. Louis to care for my parents during these more tender years of their life as they aged. So it was it was synergistic and somewhat serendipity that both coming back here and the discovery of this opening to
sure.
both happened at the same time.
Well, Paul Weiss, what about people who say, okay, this sounds really good. Well, how do you do it? How do you find out about it? There's a catalog. It's on the internet, I'm sure.
There's a catalog. I mean, the easiest way is you don't have to be in St. Louis to participate in Oasis. You can go to our national website, which is www.oasisnet.org. OasisNet is one word, OASISNET.org. And then you can pull down on the front page, there's all our Oasis Center locations, and you can, in St. Louis is one of them. Or if you're not convenient in St. Louis or nearby other cities, we have a huge array of virtual classes for Oasis everywhere. And we have participants in exercise classes, lifelong learning, technology literacy, and more, all online and all live. And they're sourced from every one of our centers throughout the country from our best instructors.
You've got some great instructors on your list, and you've got some great people working in your office. And you also have a lot of great volunteers. I imagine you always need volunteers.
We always need volunteers. We need volunteers for, obviously, our intergenerational literacy tutoring program. We have, pre-pandemic, we had about 2,500 literacy tutors working in 27 school districts throughout the metro area and 4,500 tutors nationally. Post-pandemic, we lost a lot of our tutoring population, but we're building it back up. The demand from schools exceeds the number of tutors. So if you have any interest as an older adult in engaging with kids in a mentorship capacity, we will train you how to be a reading tutor. You get to work with kids in K through fourth grade, build all these relationships within schools. It's a tremendous way to give back to the community. And we also need volunteers to teach classes. If it's something that you're passionate about, we have a way for you to share it with others. We need volunteers for our health programs to be trained as leaders for community-based health programs. You can become a health education expert. And obviously, we need volunteers to do things like just work in our office and help us coordinate classes and engage with the older adults we serve. So we operate relatively frugally because we have so much volunteer firepower delivering the Oasis mission in all these different ways.
Now, what are your thoughts, Paul, about the future of artificial intelligence, and is that being done with Oasis? Are you having any programs about that? Are people asking about it?
So a big component of what we have done the last almost 20 years now is technology literacy education. We have Oasis Connections as this very large multi-course curriculum. And one of the things we've been talking about lately is, you know, how do we start teaching people about artificial intelligence? The truth is it's somewhat intimidating. The older adults are naturally sort of skeptical or intimidated or feel alienated by new technology, but a lot of it's fairly easy to use. One of the things that we have been developing new program planning for is creating opportunities for older adults to enter the new economy. And we think teaching people how to use AI tools will be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And as we develop this sort of workforce development aspect of our lifelong learning programs, teaching people how to use large language models like ChatGPT, how to write prompts, those sorts of things as shortcuts to creating text, to blogging, to even creating marketing content, we think that's a very important skill set. And we don't think it's a very high bar to learn. Older adults are more likely to feel intimidated by this sort of technology, but they shouldn't. It's very learnable.
Good. And find out more from Oasis. Well, Paul, thank you, Paul Weiss. I hope to talk to you again soon in KMOX and maybe see you in person at one of your events.
I hope you will as well. Thank you so much, John.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Paul. This is Johnny Rabbit. My next Oasis program, incidentally, is called Checking In, A History of Hotels and Motels in St. Louis, mostly about hotels. That's going to be Thursday, July 27th from 10:30 to noon at the Center of Clayton. Thursday, July 27th, hotels. Check in on it. You can do that by visiting stloasis.org. A couple of recent AI-themed novels are Barren Cove, if you want to read about AI. A novel, Barren Cove, by Ariel Winter. Another one is The Mother Code by Carol Stivers. But the actual factual, not fictional AI, came into being with Alan Turing's work, Computer Machinery and Intelligence, in which he created the Turing Test. Now, this happened between the years of 1950 and 1956. Happening in just a couple of minutes, we'll have Peter Mayer from CBS News on the air at KMOX. Now, KMOX at your service with yours truly, Johnny Rabbit. We take pride in presenting the continuing adventures of Peter Mayer, starring, of all people, Peter Mayer. Peter Mayer himself, he's here right now. Well, he's not really here right now, but he's somewhere right now. Peter, where are you anyway?
I am in the greater Washington, D.C. area and just excited to blab it to the rabbit.
Thank you, Peter, very much. You know, when I think of you, often when I hear it, I'm always listening to old music. A 1948 song, You Came a Long Way from St. Louis, which was on Peggy Lee's LP, Beauty and the Beast. It was even on Chuck Berry's album, Chuck Berry in London. But for you, the song title would be You Came a Long Way from Granite City. Isn't that true?
That's right. I am a proud native of Granite City, Illinois, Johnny, a member of the class of 19. Yeah.
See, that's the way to do it. We were talking to Jordan Palmer earlier of the Morning Light website. He mentioned some of your work has been honored by a museum in Washington, D.C. What is that museum?
Well, I've been involved in several museums. This is the latest. It is the Capitol Jewish Museum. Mm-hmm. And they asked me a couple of years ago when they were building it, Johnny, if I had any mementos that I'd like to contribute. And I gave them a number of things that, frankly, I thought would be of real interest to them. The program from the Camp David Accords that President Carter signed on the White House lawn. I was there when he signed that with Prime Minister Begin of Israel and Anwar Sadat of Egypt. That is still in their archives, I'm told. Hmm. They chose to put three press passes from a trip that I made to Israel, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan with President George W. Bush.
Wow.
So that is on display there, and that's why I say I am a museum relic.
And you mentioned other museums, too. What are the others?
Well, I've actually just one other comes to mind immediately, and I've donated a number of things to the Clinton Presidential Library in Little Rock. And also, I've been in touch with a number of the people at the George H.W. Bush Presidential Library in College Station, Texas. I visited there a couple of times and actually visited with President Bush there many years ago.
That's great. Now, do you still have recordings of your work, digital or tapes or cassettes or whatever, and scripts?
Way too many for my wife.
I know the feeling.
You do, I know, because Mrs. Rabbit is also a good friend of mine.
That's true, that she is. So what are you going to do with all these things?
Well, you know, right now they are on shelves and in cardboard boxes. I'm trying to I'm working on putting some of my memories together for the grandkids, and so that's where they stand, yeah.
Are you going to do a book, write a book about your career?
Are you?
Well, on to the next question then.
Yeah, you know, I have it, you know, stored in my computer, a lot of these memories.
Sure.
And I know you do too.
Yes.
And I hear from high school friends of mine so often, especially a friend of mine who may be listening today in Granite City, Marcia Galloway Chomko, who is always after me to write a book. So maybe one of these days I'll be able to put all of this together.
I hope it happens.
Can't put it off, that's for sure, right?
That's for sure. When did you decide to retire?
I retired from CBS News in 2015.
My goodness.
You know, I just decided that I'd done enough trips. Mm-hmm. I'd gotten up at 4:30 in the morning for 20-some-odd years to be at the White House by 6 o'clock in the morning. And it was just time for someone else to take the reins of the CBS News White House booth.
What are some of your early jobs like? For example, coming to the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Right. Well, you know, as you know, I started at WGNU in Granite City, and you hired me at KSHE in St. Louis.
That's true.
My first real solid news experience came at the old WIBV radio in Belleville. Working there with Norman Greenberg and some really fine people over the years. And then I went on to Nashville, worked at a all-new CBS station there, and to WSB in Atlanta, where I covered Jimmy Carter.
Oh, my.
And that's, you know, he was the governor of Georgia then. And to answer your question, that's when Mutual Radio came calling, mm-hmm. the now defunct Mutual Radio. and they were looking for someone who was familiar with Jimmy Carter, and I had covered him as governor, and they brought me to Washington for an audition, and worked for them for over 20 years, and then I really got the huge break of my career, other than the time that you hired me, of course.
Yeah, of course, of course.
And went to CBS, and that was really just the crowning glory, and just to know that I was on KMOX and WBBM in Chicago, WCBS in New York, and so many of the stations that meant so much to me as I was coming along in the business.
Now, was Tony Marvin on Mutual when you were there?
No, no, that was part of the history of the place.
How about Gabriel Heater?
Come on.
There's good news tonight. I can remember him. 8:15 at KWK on Mutual. Well,
absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Have you done any television work?
You know, I did a little bit at CBS. There's, you know, at that time, and still to a certain extent, although my successor, Stephen Portnoy, has done a certain amount of TV. But, yeah, I was on TV a couple of times on breaking stories for CBS.
Now, what about your predecessor? Who was that?
My predecessor
at
CBS. Oh boy, I would have to. You know, you're stumped me on
okay,
that.
Okay, that's all right.
I don't. You know, I mean, there were a lot of the TV correspondents were also doing radio before I got there. My best friend was the late Bill Plant, who was a Chicago boy, and Bill was just a very dear man. We lost him a couple of years ago to cancer. But just a terrific human being all the way around. So we traveled the world together, and Bill continued to do radio, but mostly TV.
Now, what about your start? Was your original career goal media, radio, TV, or had you planned to do something else?
Well, you know, I sent you a picture not too long ago of a record that I have. It's a small disc that was recorded at Kiel Auditorium at the old St. Louis Home Show. And the record label reads KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. And Rex Davis interviewed me when I was about 7 years old. And he said, "Hi there, young man. What do you want to be when you grow up?" And I said, "I want to be a reporter."
That's great. I do remember that photograph. Matter of fact, I'll be using that in a presentation I'm doing. I can't remember the date, in December, that I hope you can make it to the Missouri History Museum on a history of St. Louis radio and television. So thank you for sending that.
Oh, I'm so flattered. Thank you, Johnny.
Of course. What about a podcast? Have you ever done any podcasting? Are you interested in that?
You know, CBS was just getting into that when I retired. So I did do, you know, some of that and a number of things for CBSNews.com when it was sort of in its infancy. Right now, no, I have not done any recently. You know, so no.
Sure. There was an article, I may have sent this to you last week, about a radio show in Portland, Oregon that is completely hosted by an AI voice. Radio and TV stations, program syndicators, streaming services, networks, movie studios, almost without exception, are experimenting with AI, planning to do so, a major reason for the WGA Writers Guild of America strike, and of great concern to the union we are both in, SAG-AFTRA, Screen Actors Guild, American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. So what do you think? You think we're going to have all AI radio sometime?
Well, I think some stations will do that to save money.
Yes.
You and I both remember when automation first came into play for radio stations. I remember driving down to Hannibal, and there was an FM station there that, you know, was totally automated, and this was back in the 1960s. But, you know, in terms of AI, Johnny, so many intriguing and concerning things about artificial intelligence. And like so many others, and your friend from Oasis talking about it, I'm still learning about this booming technology. You know, it's used to create video images and text and audio. And just over the past week or so, did you talk about Paul McCartney's announcement yet?
No, I did not.
You know, he announced that he newly discovered some Beatles material in his archives, and it's going to be released at what's being billed as the last Beatles record.
I did mention that, right? The last record.
Yeah, using AI.
Yeah.
And they pulled John Lennon's voice from an old demo track. And McCartney himself described it as, quote, kind of scary but exciting. And he said, we'll just have to see where this leads. And I think, you know, in so many ways, it's exciting, it's intriguing, but I got to tell you, there are just some aspects of it that I personally am really worried about.
Yeah, me too. Now, what about the presidential election? It's not that far off. How is AI going to fit into this?
Well, you know, I think that this is going to be a new era of dirty tricks. Politics, one of my favorite subjects. I covered, oh my goodness, every campaign from 76 until Barack Obama. And I think it's a safe bet that artificial intelligence is going to be a big part of the 2024 campaign, Johnny, and a threat to spread misinformation in our already polarized country. Some of the campaigns have already produced some videos using AI, and we're going to need a lot more than a sharp eye, I think, to see it for what it really is. I'm real big on this term media literacy, where we have to know the sources of the news that we get. It's so easy to click on, you know, clickbait online, something that looks intriguing, but you have to look real closely to make sure that it's coming from a reputable source. But there's a publication called The Hill, which is a real reputable chronicler of things in D.C., and in an online story in the past couple of weeks, they reported that Florida Governor DeSantis's presidential campaign released an ad that used AI-produced images showing his main rival, although he doesn't mention him by name very often, Donald Trump, embracing Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's sort of a boogeyman for certain elements in the country. I personally happen to think he's an American hero myself. But The Hill reported that the Trump side has already posted what was described as a deep fake video of DeSantis. So turnabout is fair play or unfair play, depending on where you stand. Right. But look, the stage is set for new types of old-fashioned dirty tricks, and I think, you know, we're going to see it on both sides from Democrats and Republicans as this thing unfolds.
It will be something to see. Have you written any articles about this? Do you publish any or send it like The Hill or other publications?
No, I have not. And as I say, I am just learning about this AI. As you gave a really great history lesson about how long it has really been around.
Right.
But, you know, we really have to ask ourselves if the specter of AI-generated images are going to turn off even more voters and hurt democracy in the long run.
Wow. Things are, Peter Mayer, a lot simpler back when I was managing KC, and you were there as a KC DJ, and you, thank you for doing it. I got to introduce the first progressive rock concert in St. Louis.
I sure did.
It was Cream at the Kiel Opera House, and the tickets at that point were a stunning $3, $4, and $5. Now, Peter, do you remember how you introduced them?
I introduced them exactly as you told me to. Ladies and gentlemen, Cream.
Things were simpler.
I walked out on that stage at Kiel Auditorium, and I think, what is this kid from Granite City doing here, you know? Get me to the arena. Let me see the police circus.
Yeah, right. That's great. A great memory. A great concert, too. You know, it's hard to believe how inexpensive everything was when we sponsored Cream. Their cost was $3,000.
Oh, my.
And it cost us $1,500 to rent the Kiel Opera House.
So, no.
Yeah, things have changed. Well, Peter, let's meet again on the radio or wherever in a few weeks and update on other topics. And I hope you do come to St. Louis sooner than later and drop in for a visit, too.
Well, you will see me in the not too distant future, and I'll be in touch with you on that. But if I were there right now, I would right now be heading over to Ted Drew's for that Johnny Rabbit concoction of chocolate covered cherry concrete.
You got it. Thank you. Thank you for an unsolicited commercial from Peter Mayer. Thanks a lot, Peter, very much.
Thank you, Johnny. I love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. And last week I mentioned to my physical therapist, Kara Ringkamp of SSM Health, and I was doing a show that would in part be about AI, and she suggested watching a British TV series called Black Mirror. I had never heard of it. And I don't know if I'm happy that I have heard of it. But Black Mirror, nonetheless, it's on Netflix. It's about what they call speculative fiction and future sci-fi technology. And she justifiably warned that the 27-episode series, which is based on The Twilight Zone, is a dark, deeply disturbing, and downright scary program. I watched a little of it, and she was right. It is very frightening. I think I'll stick with radio shows like the old Dimension X and TV shows like One Step Beyond with John Newland. And, of course, some of the old books that kind of hint on the things that are that have gone on, like H.G. Wells' The Shape of Things to Come. Well, that's it for today. For yours truly, Johnny Rabbit, at your service. I'll be back next Sunday, not for an At Your Service show, but we'll be doing a little feature, as we do, thanks to Scott the Roamer Jagow. Normally on Sunday morning, because of the early baseball game we weren't on this morning, it's at 8:50 a.m. It lasts about 5-6 minutes. And we're going to talk about some of the interesting things that have happened in St. Louis on Independence Day over the years, of such events as the dedication of Eads Bridge and the first VP Fair and a lot more. Well, I have to acknowledge a couple of letters I got that I will not forget to get back to these people. David Adams of Chippewa in southwest St. Louis, and a really interesting letter from Tom Raber in St. Louis talking about his voice and how to use your voice for various things. He was talking about doing on a commercial one time and how the announcer worked the microphone, so to speak. That's it for me. This is yours truly, Johnny Rabbit on KMOX. Now, KMOX at your service with yours truly, Johnny Rabbit. We take pride in presenting the continuing adventures of Peter Mayer, starring, of all people, Peter Mayer. Peter Mayer himself, he's here right now. Well, he's not really here right now, but he's somewhere right now. Peter, where are you anyway?
I am in the greater Washington, D.C. area and just excited to blab it to the rabbit.
Thank you, Peter, very much. You know, when I think of you, often when I hear it, I'm always listening to old music. A 1948 song, You Came a Long Way from St. Louis, which was on Peggy Lee's LP, Beauty and the Beast. It was even on Chuck Berry's album, Chuck Berry in London. But for you, the song title would be You Came a Long Way from Granite City. Isn't that true?
That's right. I am a proud native of Granite City, Illinois, Johnny. A member of the class of 1910. Yeah.
See, that's the way to do it. We were talking to Jordan Palmer earlier of the Morning Light website. He mentioned some of your work has been honored by a museum in Washington, D.C. What is that museum?
Well, I've been involved in several museums. This is the latest. It is the Capitol Jewish Museum. Mm-hmm. And they asked me a couple of years ago when they were building it, Johnny, if I had any mementos that I'd like to contribute. And I gave them a number of things that, frankly, I thought would be of real interest to them. The program from the Camp David Accords that President Carter signed on the White House lawn. I was there when he signed that with Prime Minister Begin of Israel and Anwar Sadat of Egypt. That is still in their archives, I'm told. Hmm. They chose to put three press passes from a trip that I made to Israel, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan with President George W. Bush.
Wow.
So that is on display there, and that's why I say I am a museum relic.
And you mentioned other museums, too. What are the others?
Well, I've actually just one other comes to mind immediately, and I've donated a number of things to the Clinton Presidential Library in Little Rock. And also, I've been in touch with a number of the people at the George H.W. Bush Presidential Library in College Station, Texas. I visited there a couple of times and actually visited with President Bush there many years ago.
That's great. Now, do you still have recordings of your work, digital or tapes or cassettes or whatever, and scripts?
Way too many for my wife.
I know the feeling.
You do, I know, because Mrs. Rabbit is also a good friend of mine.
That's true, that she is. So what are you going to do with all these things?
Well, you know, right now they are on shelves and in cardboard boxes. I'm trying to I'm working on putting some of my memories together for the grandkids, and that's where they stand, yeah.
Are you going to do a book, write a book about your career?
Are you?
Well, on to the next question then.
Yeah, you know, I have it, you know, stored in my computer, a lot of these memories.
Sure.
And I know you do too.
Yes.
And I hear from high school friends of mine so often, especially a friend of mine who may be listening today in Granite City, Marcia Galloway Chomko, who's always after me to write a book. So maybe one of these days I'll be able to put all of this together.
I hope it happens.
Can't put it off, that's for sure, right?
That's for sure. When did you decide to retire?
I retired from CBS News in 2015. I just decided that I'd done enough trips. I'd gotten up at 4:30 in the morning for 20-some-odd years to be at the White House by 6 o'clock in the morning. And it was just time for someone else to take the reins of the CBS News White House booth.
What are some of your early jobs like? For example, coming to the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Right. Well, you know, as you know, I started at WGNU in Granite City, and you hired me at KSHE in St. Louis.
That's true.
My first real solid news experience came at the old WIBV radio in Belleville, working there with Norman Greenberg and some really fine people over the years. And then I went on to Nashville, worked at a all-news CBS station there, and to WSB in Atlanta, where I covered Jimmy Carter.
Oh, my.
And that's, you know, he was the governor of Georgia then. And to answer your question, that's when Mutual Radio came calling, the now defunct Mutual Radio. And they were looking for someone who was familiar with Jimmy Carter. And I had covered him as governor. And they brought me to Washington for an audition and worked for them for over 20 years. And then I really got the huge break of my career, other than the time that you hired me, of course.
Yeah, of course, of course.
And went to CBS. And that was really just the crowning glory. And just to know that I was on KMOX and WBBM in Chicago, WCBS in New York, and so many of the stations that meant so much to me as I was coming along in the business.
Now, was Tony Marvin on Mutual when you were there?
No. That was part of the history of the place.
How about Gabriel Heater?
Come on.
There's good news tonight. I can remember him. 8:15 at KWK on Mutual. Well,
absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Have you done any television work?
You know, I did a little bit at CBS. There's, you know, at that time, and still to a certain extent, although my successor, Stephen Portnoy, has done a certain amount of TV. But, yeah, I was on TV a couple of times on breaking stories for CBS.
Now, what about your predecessor? Who was that?
My predecessor
at CBS.
At CBS? Oh, boy. I would have to, you know, you're stumped me on that.
Okay, that's all right.
I don't, you know, I mean, there were a lot of the TV correspondents were also doing radio before I got there. My best friend was the late Bill Plant, who was a Chicago boy, and Bill was just a very dear man. We lost him a couple of years ago to cancer. But just a terrific human being all the way around. So we traveled the world together, and Bill continued to do radio, but mostly TV.
Now, what about your start? Was your original career goal media, radio, TV, or had you planned to do something else?
Well, you know, I sent you a picture not too long ago of a record that I have. It's a small disc that was recorded at Kiel Auditorium at the old St. Louis Home Show. And the record label reads KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. And Rex Davis interviewed me when I was about 7 years old. And he said, "Hi there, young man. What do you want to be when you grow up?" And I said, "I want to be a reporter."
That's great. I do remember that photograph. Matter of fact, I'll be using that in a presentation I'm doing. I can't remember the date, in December, that I hope you can make it to the Missouri History Museum on a history of St. Louis radio and television. So thank you for sending that.
Oh, I'm so flattered. Thank you, Johnny.
Of course. What about a podcast? Have you ever done any podcasting? Are you interested in that?
You know, CBS was just getting into that when I retired. So I did do, you know, some of that and a number of things for CBSNews.com when it was sort of in its infancy. Right now, no, I have not done any recently. You know, so no.
Sure. There was an article, I may have sent this to you last week, about a radio show in Portland, Oregon that is completely hosted by an AI voice. radio and TV stations, program syndicators, streaming services, networks, movie studios, almost without exception, are experimenting with AI, planning to do so, a major reason for the WGA Writers Guild of America strike, and of great concern to the union we are both in, SAG-AFTRA, Screen Actors Guild, American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. So what do you think? You think we're going to have all AI radio sometime?
Well, I think some stations will do that to save money.
Yes.
You and I both remember when automation first came into play for radio stations. I remember driving down to Hannibal, and there was an FM station there that, you know, was totally automated, and this was back in the 1960s. But, you know, in terms of AI, Johnny, there's so many intriguing and concerning things about artificial intelligence. And like so many others, and your friend from Oasis talking about it, I'm still learning about this booming technology. You know, it's used to create video images and text and audio. And just over the past week or so, did you talk about Paul McCartney's announcement yet?
No, I did not.
You know, he announced that that he newly discovered some Beatles material in his archives, and it's going to be released at what's being billed as the last Beatles record.
I did mention that, right? The last record.
Yeah, using AI.
Yeah.
And they pulled John Lennon's voice from an old demo track. And McCartney himself described it as, quote, kind of scary but exciting. And he said, we'll just have to see where this leads. And I think, you know, in so many ways, it's exciting, it's intriguing. But I got to tell you, there are just some aspects of it that I personally am really worried about.
Yeah, me too. Now, what about the presidential election? It's not that far off. How is AI going to fit into this?
Well, you know, I think that this is going to be a new era of dirty tricks. Politics, one of my favorite subjects. I covered, oh my goodness, every campaign from 76 until Barack Obama. And I think it's a safe bet that artificial intelligence is going to be a big part of the 2024 campaign, Johnny, and a threat to spread misinformation in our already polarized country. Some of the campaigns have already produced some videos using AI, and we're going to need a lot more than a sharp eye, I think, to see it for what it really is. I'm real big on this term media literacy, where we have to know the sources of the news that we get. It's so easy to click on, you know, clickbait online, something that looks intriguing, but you have to look real closely to make sure that it's coming from a reputable source. But as you know, there's a publication called The Hill, which is a real reputable chronicler of things in D.C. And in an online story in the past couple of weeks, they reported that Florida Governor DeSantis's presidential campaign released an ad that used AI-produced images showing his main rival, although he doesn't mention him by name very often, Donald Trump, embracing Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's sort of a boogeyman for certain elements in the country. I personally happen to think he's an American hero myself. But The Hill reported that the Trump side has already posted what was described as a deep fake video of DeSantis. So turnabout is fair play or unfair play, depending on where you stand.
Right.
But look, the stage is set for new types of old-fashioned dirty tricks, and I think, you know, we're going to see it on both sides from Democrats and Republicans as this thing unfolds.
It will be something to see. Have you written any articles about this? Do you publish any or send it like The Hill or other publications?
No, I have not. And as I say, I am just learning about this AI. As you gave a really great history lesson about how long it has really been around.
Right.
But, you know, we really have to ask ourselves if the specter of AI-generated images are going to turn off even more voters and hurt democracy in the long run.
Wow. Things are, Peter Mayer, a lot simpler back when I was managing KSHE, and you were there as a KSHE DJ, and you, thank you for doing it. I got to introduce the first progressive rock concert in St. Louis.
I sure did.
It was Cream at the Kiel Opera House, and the tickets at that point were a stunning $3, $4, and $5. Now, Peter, do you remember how you introduced them?
I introduced them exactly as you told me to. Ladies and gentlemen, Cream.
Things were simpler.
I walked out on that stage at Kiel Auditorium, and I said, what is this kid from Granite City doing here, you know? Get me to the arena. Let me see the police circus.
Yeah, right. That's great. A great memory. A great concert, too. You know, it's hard to believe how inexpensive everything was when we sponsored Cream. Their cost was $3,000.
Oh, my.
And it cost us $1,500 to rent the Kiel Opera House.
So, no.
Yeah, things have changed. Well, Peter, let's meet again on the radio or wherever in a few weeks and update on other topics. And I hope you do come to St. Louis sooner than later and drop in for a visit, too.
Well, you will see me in the not too distant future, and I'll be in touch with you on that. But if I were there right now, I would right now be heading over to Ted Drew's for that Johnny Rabbit concoction of chocolate covered cherry concrete.
You got it. Thank you. Thank you for an unsolicited commercial from Peter Mayer. Thanks a lot, Peter, very much.
Thank you, Johnny. I love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. And last week I mentioned to my physical therapist, Kara Ringkamp of SSM Health, and I was doing a show that would in part be about AI, and she suggested watching a British TV series called Black Mirror. I had never heard of it. And I don't know if I'm happy that I have heard of it. But Black Mirror, nonetheless, it's on Netflix. It's about what they call speculative fiction and future sci-fi technology. And she justifiably warned that the 27-episode series, which is based on The Twilight Zone, is a dark, deeply disturbing, and downright scary program. I watched a little of it, and she was right. It is very frightening. I think I'll stick with radio shows like the old Dimension X and TV shows like One Step Beyond with John Newland. And, of course, some of the old books that kind of hint on the things that have gone on, like H.G. Wells' The Shape of Things to Come. Well, that's it for today for yours truly, Johnny Rabbit, at your service. I'll be back next Sunday, not for an at your service show, but we'll be doing a little feature as we do, thanks to Scott the Roamer Jagow. Normally on Sunday morning, because of the early baseball game we weren't on this morning, it's at 8:50 a.m. It lasts about 5-6 minutes. And we're going to talk about some of the interesting things that have happened in St. Louis on Independence Day over the years, of such events as the dedication of Eads Bridge and the first VP fair and a lot more. Well, I have to acknowledge a couple of letters I got that I will not forget to get back to these people. David Adams of Chippewa in Southwest St. Louis, and a really interesting letter from Tom Raber in St. Louis talking about his voice and how to use your voice for various things. He was talking about doing on a commercial one time and how the announcer worked the microphone, so to speak. That's it for me. This is yours truly, Johnny Rabbit on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need. to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.